Good evening and welcome to Matters of Life. I'm your host, John Lucier, and I'm thankful to have you all with me as we continue our discussion focusing on the Lord's heart. Now, we've been talking about this here for the past few episodes, looking at the Lord and ultimately His goodness. Goodness is always at the heart of the Lord. And He is always, even in discipline or refining of His children, He's still looking to bless them. He's still teaching and training and equipping, and with that wisdom, that counsel, guidance, He's giving understanding, looking for us to actually apply what He is pouring into us in our daily life. And we left off, we were in Isaiah chapter 44, which as that chapter begins to conclude, the Lord makes it very clear how He plans and who He plans to use to bring about restoration. And He says that in, starting in verse 27, He said, "It is I who says to the depth of the sea, be dried up, and I will make your rivers dry. It is I who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he will perform all my desire. And he declares of Jerusalem, she will be built, and of the temple, your foundations will be laid." So we're going to continue and looking at how the Lord plans to utilize and who the Lord selects to utilize to bring about His will, His plan, His purpose, and the restoration of His children. So let's just open up with a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, which is a part of you, and that you so freely extend to us. We thank you for all that you're doing here in our lives, but also throughout the entire earth, that you are drawing your people to you, that you are delivering them out of bondage and the things that the enemy has used to try to keep them bound and confined and restrained and imprisoned, but that you are setting the captives free, bringing about a great deliverance and a restoration of all that has been robbed from them. We thank you, Lord. We praise you for it. I ask you to open our eyes and our ears so that your word can actually be planted and written on the tablet of our heart, so we can be more like you and your Son, Jesus the Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right. Well, let's get into this, and we're going to do that first by reading in Isaiah 45, the first 13 verses, which says, "Thus says the Lord to Cyrus, his anointed, whom I have taken by the right hand to subdue nations before him and to loose the loins of kings, to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the rough places smooth. I will shatter the doors of bronze and cut through their iron bars. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden wealth of secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by your name. For the sake of Jacob, my servant, and Israel, my chosen one, I have also called you by your name. I have given you a title of honor, though you have not known me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that men may know from the rising to the setting of the sun, that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. The one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating calamity. I am the Lord who does all these. Drip down, O heavens, from above, and let the clouds pour down the righteousness. Let the earth open up, and salvation bear fruit, and righteousness spring up with it. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe to the one who quarrels with his maker, an earthenware vessel among the vessels of the earth. What will the clay say to the potter? What are you doing? Or the thing you are making say, he has no hands. Woe to him who says to the father, what are you begetting? Or to a woman, to what are you giving birth? Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me about the things to come concerning my sons, and you shall commit to me the work of my hands. It is I who made the earth and created man upon it, and stretched out the heavens with my hands, and I ordained all their hosts. I have aroused him in righteousness, and I will make all his ways smooth. He will build my city and let my exiles go free, without any payment or reward, says the Lord of hosts. So we're going to pause there as far as the reading goes. But I just want to point out this thing. The Lord is talking about restoration of his people who were acting in opposition to the Lord. And what is incredible here is, and something we must all understand, the Lord will use whoever he wants. He and says who he will utilize here for restoration, to draw the nations, and I'll say the heart of the nations, towards him, the Lord, not Cyrus. But he says very plainly he is going to use Cyrus to accomplish that, which is incredible because for a number of reasons. One, Cyrus didn't know the Lord. The Lord says that very plainly. You have not known me, but I'm going to use you. In other words, Cyrus will know the Lord. And he would be utilized by the Lord to, well, first honor the Lord, but to draw all people to the Lord and bring about the restoration of Israel. And I find that incredibly fascinating because, well, for a number of reasons. First, this is a prophetic word. This word was given approximately 150 years prior to Cyrus conquering, well, Belshazzar, and who was the son of Nebuchadnezzar. And you read about that in Daniel. But it's very interesting how the Lord will utilize those who don't know him to accomplish his purpose. He calls who, and he chooses who he wills. Many are called, a few are chosen. But the interesting thing is, again, this is prophetic. The Lord is giving this word in Isaiah, as we just read, approximately 150 years before Cyrus appears on the scene. So this is the thing that we all must understand. And excuse me, and you read about this in Revelation 19. We'll look at verses 9 and 10. And this is where the apostle John is caught up to heaven, and he sees a great many things. The apostle John, who walked with Jesus as his disciple during Christ's earthly ministry. And it says, then he said to me, as the apostle John is being escorted around heaven, it says, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. Then I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Which is something that I find incredibly fascinating. How many individuals do we have, whether it's elected officials or the like, that are pointing people toward the Lord? Not just in what they say, but also in what they do. It's not that they can't be used. Are they willing? And then further still, what are we the children of God, those who profess Christ, are we in tune with what the Lord is saying? And do we have the faith to acknowledge the Lord, and I'll say those whom the Lord has chosen to accomplish his purpose? And you can look at that in any area and aspect, whether that's in, as elected officials at your local, state, or federal level, judges and all the like, business owners, in education, at every grade level, even in the church. Or was it man that tried to make their own way? Because here it's interesting. The Lord discusses and describes, he names Cyrus, calls Cyrus by name and tells him this is how, who is going to be used and what they're going to accomplish. And look at, if you study it out, look at all that the Lord accomplished through him. Again, it was written about 150 years before Cyrus appeared. And this, you'll find this during the book of Daniel, really in Daniel chapter 10, for the fulfillment. But then, and also in Jeremiah 25, that although, and I'll say it in this way, it's also written in Antiquities by Josephus that the prophecy was read or given to Cyrus, and that he desired to fulfill it, denoting that there's a trusting of the Lord. And it's not that the Bible is supporting other documents, it's that other documents are supporting what is written in Scripture. And it's also demonstrated by the execution of that, the carrying out, the fulfillment, looking at him sending Cyrus, saying, look, we're going to rebuild the temple and rebuild the city of Jerusalem. And you see that throughout the entirety of Scripture, how the Jews went back with Zerubbabel and with Joshua. And they were led in order to bring about restoration. They were given provision. All the things that Nebuchadnezzar had taken to Babylon when he, I'll say, conquered, but also led all of Israel into captivity. Those things were restored. They were given back by Cyrus. So it's, to me, I find it incredible of just, well, I'll say, the Lord who knows the end from the beginning. And he calls those things that are not as though they were. So it's something that we must also recognize in here. But as we also have to ask ourselves, do we have the faith to receive the word of the Lord? And it's not the only place that the Lord mentions this, and why we have to ask ourselves about, are we willing to receive the word of the Lord? The word of the Lord is a commandment, but it is also oftentimes prophecy. Will we trust the Lord? And I'm reminded actually of the centurion. Centurion and his faith. And we'll find that in Luke chapter 7. I'll begin reading in verse 6. It says, now Jesus started on his way with them. And when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself further, for I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. For this reason, I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it. Now Jesus And then when Jesus heard this, he marveled at him and turned and said to the crowd that was following him, I say to you, not even in Israel have I found such great faith. So something that we have to examine within ourselves. Do we trust the word of the Lord? Now, it's interesting in this story about the centurion how there were individuals that were making a case to Jesus concerning this individual. And they, the people, considered him worthy. Why? Because he had done things for them. He had built them a synagogue. And because of that, they said, oh, this individual is worthy. He loves Israel. But the individual did not go by the thoughts of man. He knew that the Lord is holy and need to be honored and respected. And that the Lord has all power and authority. And all the Lord had to do was say the word, and he was going to believe it. It was easy for him to grasp being someone in the military. But isn't this always the way it's been with the Lord? As we just read about with Cyrus, the Lord said the word. And the people then had a choice to come into alignment with it, to believe it, to have faith and trust the Lord, or to be in opposition to it. And clearly, they were in opposition for quite some time. And the Lord still fulfilled what he said he would accomplish and brought about the rebuilding, restoration of the temple. In similar aspect. But here's the thing. The Lord will use whoever he wants. Let's look at what it says in Romans 9. I'll begin reading in verse 14. What shall we say there? There is no injustice with God, is there? May it never be. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I raised you up, to demonstrate my power in you and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. So then he has mercy on whom he desires and he hardens whom he desires. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who resists his will? On the contrary, who are you, old man, who answers back to God? The thing molded will not say to the molder, why did you make me like this, will it? Or does not the potter have the right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common use? What if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath to make his power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? And he did so to make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand for glory, even us, whom he also called, not from among Jews only, but also from among Gentiles, as he says also in Hosea, I will call those who are not my people, my people. And her who was not beloved, beloved. And it shall be that in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, they shall be called sons of the living God. Israel cries out concerning Israel. Isaiah cries out concerning Israel. Though the number of the sons of Israel shall be like the sands of the sea, it is the remnant that shall be saved. For the Lord will execute his word on the earth, thoroughly and quickly. So I know there are many looking at what is happening in the nation and throughout the whole earth. And there are many calling and fearful of judgment. But again, We have something that we say often at this ministry. Whether it is the end of days or your end of days, we are to be a people prepared for the Lord. The Lord tells us that throughout Scripture. Make ready a people prepared for the Lord, not just in word only, but in word and deed, operating by the Spirit of truth, that is Holy Spirit, being led and guided by Him. And that's for all people, not just the Jews only, but Jew and Gentile. Throughout the whole earth, all the nations have the opportunity to come into alignment and into God, the Lord's will, and into covenant with Him. The Lord has called, I'd say many, but all, really. And He has chosen others that He knows will do, carry out, fulfill, and accomplish His will on the earth. But are we willing to just recognize the word of the Lord? And because the Lord has spoken, that we demonstrate our love and our faith and our hope, our future, faith for the long term, for eternity, in the Lord, by trusting Him at His word. So when He says, this is my kingdom, this is whom I've chosen to do this, are we willing to accept that and to cast our vote along with what the Lord says? And I know I've spoken about this in the past, I'll say, to one of the earlier episodes on the show where we were discussing how the Lord looks at selecting leaders. So if you haven't listened to that, I want to encourage you to go listen to that episode or re-listen to that episode. But yes, this is an election year, but anytime there's an election, anytime there's anything going on in life, we should be holding it up before the Lord and saying, Lord, what are your thoughts concerning this? What do you want me to say and do concerning whatever that situation or circumstance is? That's allowing God to be God in our life. And then our role is to come into alignment with it and to carry it out, to say what He says to say and do what He says to do. It's the simplest, most difficult thing to do, especially for those that, well, claim the Lord as their God, but don't allow Him to actually be God. But for those whom the Lord is actually God, it is easier. There's always a degree of difficulty, if you will, putting your will down. Well, we saw that even with Christ in the garden. Hey, His will was always in line with the Father. He asked if there was another way. He said, I'm going to do what you say, Lord. Not my will, but yours be done. So are we willing to just trust the Father to demonstrate that by doing what He says to say and do? And I know it's a challenge. It sounds challenging. Are we willing to come into alignment and select whom the Lord has selected and chosen to accomplish His plans, His purpose, and really all the Lord's desire? Let's not forget, His word doesn't come back void, but it goes forth and accomplishes all His plans and His purposes, or all that the Lord desires. What will we say and do? Will we trust the Lord? The Lord has quite the track record concerning whom He's chosen. You can look at Abraham. You can look at Isaac. You can look at Jacob. You can look at Joseph. You can look at Moses, who also didn't truly know the Lord for a time, but then knew the Lord greater than everyone in Israel, and taught others. And it continued with Joshua and throughout the judges, and I'll say even Gideon, Would we trust someone like Gideon, who was young and inexperienced and cowardly, who rose up and accomplished what the Lord wanted? Now, yes, the individual, that's between them and the Lord, but they are called to remain. We are all called to remain with the Lord. Will we? Or will we be in opposition to him? And he continues throughout Scripture, even David, a shepherd who he took from the fields and established him over the entirety of Israel. And then brought forth his son, Solomon, in whose days there was much peace and no longer war, but incredible wealth and every provision you could consider, who was led to build the first temple, led and commissioned by the Lord and charged by his father David to accomplish what the Lord wanted accomplished. The Lord has a history of taking things and people that are considered foolish and unwise. You can go all the way to the New Testament. And whom did he choose? Unlearned and untrained men. And he utilized them to build on the foundation that was laid in Christ and establishing the church as we know it today, the first church, and to carry that on. The Lord has a perfect track record concerning whom he chooses. Will we be obedient to what he's saying for each and every one of us to do? Will we follow his plans and his purpose? Or will we resist? The Father's heart is that we trust him enough, that we love him enough to trust him, and to demonstrate that trust by applying what he's poured into us. And even if we don't fully understand it. So we're going to leave you with that for today. I just want to encourage you to seek the Lord in all things. Hold it up, hold whatever it is in your life and those things around you, the situations and circumstances that are impacting you and your family and your community and your nation. Hold it up before the Lord and ask the Lord what his ways and his thoughts are concerning it, and for guidance as to what you should say and do. Amen. Well, know that we love you. We are keeping you in prayer. And I want to thank each and every one of you for continuing to stand for righteousness and justice. Have a wonderful evening, and God bless you.